And now let's join Maggie Linton on SiriusXM Urban View, Channel 110.
Well, welcome back. We continued with our discussion on skincare with dermatologist Dr. Mary Lupo. She's founder of the Lupo Center for Aesthetic and General Dermatology and clinical professor of dermatology at Tulane University School of Medicine. Doctor, early in our discussion, almost an hour ago, you talked about hairs, unwanted hairs. And you know what? They keep coming out on my chin here and there. And it seems like the older I get, the more hair I have.
It isn't fair, is it?
No, it isn't. It isn't. I don't want to start shaving every day, you know?
Well, first of all, regarding your options for hair removal and reduction, women need to know that it is absolutely okay to shave. It's mentally hard on us, but it is a myth that shaving makes the hair thicker and coarser. That is an absolute myth. I promise you it does not make the hair thicker and coarser. It is an option that is inexpensive. The problem with shaving, and there's something good about shaving, because when you shave, you also exfoliate the skin, and it improves the texture of the skin. The problem with shaving is this. The stubble is still visible, and women, you know, it's not feminine looking. So that's still an issue. The second thing is, you know, if your hair is very curly, when you shave, it's more likely to curl in and then cause something called pseudofolliculitis, which people call ingrown hairs that can look like pimples. So shaving can be problematic for other reasons, but I promise you it isn't going to make your hair thicker or coarser. I think that if a patient tells me that they want to do something at home, you know, shaving is an option. Waxing at a salon is an option, as long as it's a reputable salon. You making sure that they have sterile technique, and you know that they're not, you know, it's like any type of procedure, like manicures. You got to make sure that everything is clean. Threading is another type of plucking, if you will. And then there's the chemical depilatories, which actually I see more problem from because it's a chemical and can irritate some people's skin and cause hyperpigmentation. So the definitive, and there's a prescription medicine called Vanica, V-A-N-I-Q-A. A doctor does have to prescribe it, but it can be any physician. And Vanica is a cream that reduces the regrowth of the hair. It doesn't get rid of the hair you have, but it slows the regrowth. So if you go ahead and get waxed and start using Vanica, it'll come back less quickly. But the obvious definitive permanent treatment to take care of unwanted facial hair or unwanted hair anywhere is laser hair treatments. And we have so many devices on the market. They work extraordinarily well. You have to know that it only works on darker hairs. Once the hair is gray, it doesn't work.
So,
that's a real bummer, but it's the truth. The most difficult, the impossible combo is dark skin and gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
The more difficult combo is dark skin and dark hair, or light skin and light hair. The easiest and most effective combination is light skin, very dark hair. And the reason is that the laser energy is selectively absorbed by the pigment in the follicle without any competing absorption by the pigment in the surrounding skin. So you get more selective photothermolysis, which means absorption of the laser energy at the target, and therefore the heat that is generated from the absorption of the light energy into heat energy is what destroys the bulb of the hair, and the follicle doesn't have anything in it. I did laser hair removal in my underarm and bikini in 1999, and I have not, and my legs probably 2 or 3 years later, and I don't even buy razors anymore.
Wow, wow. I haven't shaved my legs in a long time. Still catch the underarms, though, because I'm not into that European look.
Oh, Lord, no.
Which is, you know, where can you braid it? You know, you just mentioned about getting bumps, and one of the things that I thought about was so many men, especially black men, really are bothered by the ingrown hairs and bumps and things along those lines. What can they do with that?
Well, you know, if a patient sees me and they've got pseudofolliculitis, what I do, number one, is I use them on some, I put some sort of Retin-A derivative on their skin because it helps. The second thing I'll do is make sure that I'm managing any hyperpigmentation. I usually put them, if it's a sun-exposed area, I make sure they're using sunscreen. But the definitive treatment for pseudofolliculitis for men is laser hair removal. But if you don't have access to that, they do get improvement with the special razors, et cetera, that are available. That, you know, what you don't want to do is you don't want to get as close of a shave. It's when the hair is cut just beneath the surface of the skin, and as it's growing out, it curves. So don't go for a super, super smooth shave. Go more for that sort of cute stubble look, and then you're not going to have as much problem. And I've had very good luck with topical prescription Retin-A and Tazorac for pseudofolliculitis.
All right. We've got a call from NJ in New Jersey. Go ahead, NJ.
Yes, good morning, Maggie. Good morning, doctor. My question is, first, I came on the show late. I just got on. I don't know if it's been answered or not, but I had gone to a dermatologist about my hair, and they did a blood test, and all the results came back normal. So what do I go do next?
Okay, that is a great question, but it is very, very complicated. So I see a lot of women, and especially African-American women, who have hair loss. And there's probably a good 10 reasons that are common in my office that I delineate. The blood test is, and I even tell my patients when they say, oh, no, I had blood tests and everything was normal, I make them bring the blood tests in because maybe the blood tests that were done were normal, but maybe something wasn't done that needed to be done, was a ferritin level done. Ferritin, when low, contributes to hair loss. Sometimes low vitamin D levels contribute to hair loss. There's biochemical reasons to lose your hair. There's hereditary things. We want to make sure that you don't have any evidence of ovarian or adrenal androgen excess. So that blood test needs to be done. I'd want to make sure it was done. Most people just are checking thyroid. Thyroid can cause hair loss, but in my practice, it's not the number one. The most common sort of biochemical thing I see is low ferritin levels from anemia. Women who've had excessive heavy menstruation bleeding for a number of years, and they might not be anemic, but they have low iron stores, and we get those iron stores up and their hair grows. But I also physically examine the scalp because you can, under magnification, sometimes you can find little micropustules in the scalp that are actually an infectious process that, if not caught early, can cause permanent hair loss. But if caught early, you can get complete regression. So there's so many things. Sometimes I even do a scalp biopsy where I take a little tiny instrument about, 3 to 5 millimeters in diameter, and it's like a little cookie cutter. And I take a little sort of core sample of the entire scalp to evaluate it for, healthiness, or is there any inflammation in the scalp? Is there any sign of infection in the scalp? Another common cause in ethnic groups for alopecia is traction alopecia. Traction alopecia is when, because of certain ways the hair is worn for long periods of time, you actually have tension on the follicle that causes, can cause over time a permanent hair loss because of scar tissue formation. So it's important to find out, is the hair loss biochemical? Is it physical? Is it inflammatory? Is it infectious? And it is, trust me, it is a complicated process, but one that should be explored completely before you're blown off and told, oh, well, your blood work is fine. Okay, well, the next step is, okay, well, why am I losing my hair? It could be hereditary. But these things can be improved. You have to make sure that it's not infectious. You have to make sure that it's not scarring. Sometimes we do cortisone injections into the scalp to grow hair. Sometimes we use Rogaine. Sometimes we do hair restoration, where micro hairs are taken, little individual hairs are taken from the back of the scalp and transplanted to the front. But first you have to find out why you're losing your hair. And they haven't found out why you're losing your hair yet.
All right.
Where do I go? Who do I go to?
You go to a really aggressive, engaged, board-certified dermatologist. And if possible, someone who specializes in hair restoration. You're in New Jersey. What part of New Jersey?
Northern New Jersey.
Are you near Montclair?
Yes.
Okay, well, go see Janine Downey, Downie. Tell her I sent you and tell her she needs to work you up.
Okay, you're Dr., I'm sorry.
Lupo.
Dr. Lupo, L-U-P-O. You can look on my Facebook page. You'll see all of her connections.
Okay, no, I just never got her
name.
Okay, Dr. no problem.
Dr. Downey is in Montclair.
Great.
And she's an excellent dermatologist. She doesn't do the if you need the hair transplant thing, but she as a woman, she will be more proactive in doing the workup and making sure that your scalp is thoroughly examined, and you tell her, I told her to do that.
Very good.
Okay. Thanks, NJ.
Since I'm not close to you and she is, tell her she has to be my surrogate, which means she has to answer to me.
All right. Listen, ladies, I got to cut you off. But thank you, NJ, for your call. Have a good weekend.
Yes, always.
Thank you. Listen, this is it, doctor. I'm going to have to say bye-bye. You have given so much great information and good contacts out today, too.
It is dermatologist
Dr. Mary Lupo, founder of the Lupo Center for Aesthetic and General Dermatology, clinical professor of dermatology at Tulane University School of Medicine, and she's got her own skincare line. Look her up, folks, all at Facebook, Twitter, and also her website, Dr. Mary Lupo, and that's LUPO.com. Thanks, doctor.
Thank you, Maggie.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Monday, tips on raising outstanding young men and New York Times bestselling science writer Mary Roach. You've been listening to The Maggie Linton Show.